Hello, and welcome to Intuitive Nature, the podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week, you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through meditations, readings, and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome back to Intuitive Nature, the podcast. I'm Susan Jane, the Intuitist, and I'm your host for today's podcast. And today we have a very special guest on, Melly S. We've had her on before, but this time she's going to actually dive a little bit deeper into the dynamics between the princess and the mother. So mother and daughter sort of issues, and we're looking in things like that. Now, the Stages of Self book is a journey to self-empowerment. So it's a really good understanding of where to go and what to do as far as these stages are. And Melly's going to take us right through this. Before we go to Melly, I just want to let you all know we do some major rebranding at the moment. So with this rebranding, you're going to start seeing new logos come up, different things happening. So I just wanted you to be prepared. It's all happening on this side of the screen. So we're really looking forward to those developments as they come along. But no more waiting. I want to welcome on board Melly. Hey, Melly.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And today you're going to be talking about the dynamics between mother and daughter. Why is that the subject today? Apart from it being in your book, why is that the subject today?
Well, it's the very first point in our journey to self-empowerment. And it was interesting because when I wrote the book, it was from my own experiences as a child with my relationship with my mother, everything I'd seen around me as well. And now as a mother myself to an eight-year-old, I'm watching it play out in my own life from the other perspective now. So it's quite interesting watching it all play out this way.
It does open your mind up, doesn't it? You get that understanding. When you're like a teenager or you're in that younger age bracket, you only see it from one view. And as you become a mother, you see it from another view. But I tell you what, as a grandmother like myself, you see it again from another view. It's really amazing. So I'm looking forward to hearing more.
And I can't wait to get to the grandmother stage at this point.
Don't hurry.
And, yeah, it's not easy moving through the mother stage because of that dynamic between the princess, the maiden, the child, whatever you want to call her. It's really that daughter who's about to step into her womanhood. It's that dynamic between mother and child that's, oh, it's a difficult one to navigate. And I think if we're not aware and taking responsibility for our own inner princess, we can live our entire lives stuck in the wounding, the stuff that happened to us when we were that age. Which is really interesting watching it play out with my daughter now and being very mindful of that, that I don't allow her to get stuck in things so it's not continuing all through her life.
Oh, sorry. What do you mean by getting stuck in the princess stage or getting stuck in that sort of stage? So how many stages have we got?
There's five stages that women cycle through, and I'm not talking menstrual cycles here. I'm talking emotional cycles, growth cycles that we journey through. And it's beautiful because we get to come back again, but if we don't face the issues of each cycle, we get stuck. And that means we end up with grown women acting like teenagers, and I'm sure we've all come across those women.
Absolutely. So when we're looking at those cycles or the stages, so we're starting with the princess, we go to the mother, we go to the
wild woman comes next.
Wild woman, then the
dark queen,
then the sorceress.
Yes, and then we finish as the sorceress, fully in our power, fully in control of our lives, and taking deep responsibility for the energy we then put out in the world.
Okay, so when we're going through these stages, and they're not like I know that in general they're almost like our age stage, but because these are emotional journey as well, they've also, if you're in the mother or in the wild woman, you can still be experiencing the princess, or you can still be experiencing the other stages. Is that correct?
Correct, correct. So while you can look at these stages of self from a bigger perspective and say, yes, the princess stage lasts from around teenagehood until you become a mother, mm-hmm. and then motherhood kicks in when you have a child. But at the same time, you can really drill down into it and go, oh, when it comes to, say, relationships, I play the princess. I play victim. Mm-hmm. I don't take responsibility. So when it comes to my relationships, I'm a princess. And then knowing the stages of self, it gives you a framework to step through so you can then empower yourself in that particular area of life.
Wow, that's amazing. All right, so we've got that overall understanding of it. We've got the five stages we're going through. But for this, and we have talked about that in a previous podcast, so we can get a little bit more about that understanding of all that. For this one, we really want to narrow down into the princess and the mother. Yes. And the dynamics between the princess and the mother. So it's almost like looking at, like you say, yourself and your daughter, and this is where you're going to really dig down into your experiences and help the people listening. But also, I guess where I go sometimes, it's not always negative to be a princess. There's times when we need our princess out too. So yes. I'm going to stop talking now because I just and I want to know more about the dynamics and what you've experienced as far as, you know, the princess and the mother situation goes, because I might learn something here with my grandchildren.
True, true. Well, what I'll do then is I'll start with a detailed understanding of who the princess is, so that way we can understand both the princess and the mother, and then look at the, it's almost intrinsic, you can't disconnect the two. They're so interwoven, and it's frustrating sometimes while living it, but it's also this really beautiful opportunity to review your own childhood, your own princess, and be able to heal her when you're in that mother phase. But yeah, the princess in general, think of yourself when you were around the 10-year-old mark. It's usually that stage of life where we're carefree, we're adventurous, we're very curious about life. So we've got a ton of questions. And I know I'm going through that with my daughter at the moment. There is a question for everything. But especially questions around rules and expectations. So there's a lot of, but why do I have to do that? Why is this right? Why is that wrong? And a lot more diving into the, I guess, the theory behind it, trying to understand why things are the way they are. And the funny thing is with that princess stage is that the moment something doesn't quite align with what she believes, she immediately feels restricted, confined, and weighed down. It's like somebody's put a cage around her and gone, no, this is the expectation. This is the general societal rule, even though you want to do this. So, for example, we know as a general societal rule, women cannot walk around topless. And yet, in the princess phase, that is when we start saying, but why? Why can't I? And I know I've had this conversation with my daughter. Why do I have to wear a shirt? Daddy doesn't wear a shirt. And then having to go through those conversations with her. And because it's not something we can actually control, it's a societal thing, the princess feels weighed down and restricted, really held back by those sorts of things. And then because she's asking all these questions, she really wants to be seen and heard for what she's saying, seen and heard for what's underneath what she's saying. And the funny thing is that it actually comes from a fear of life. So it's this really deep-seated thing of, but what will happen if I don't follow these rules? What is going to actually occur? What is the consequence if I don't follow through on this? And here's where things get a bit funny with the princess, because if she doesn't quite understand it, if she's not seen and heard enough, she rebels. And this is where we all know that phase, oh, she's being a princess right now, because the princess does get a bad rap from time to time. And that rebellion stage is interesting because it happens in two ways. If the child, the maiden, the princess, whatever you want to call her, if you're more naturally extroverted, that rebellion usually happens in her actions. So she's the one that will run away from home, will yell and scream at her parents and flatly refuse to do what she needs to do. Whereas the introvert will rebel against herself. So then she pulls in, plays victim. Somebody rescue me. Somebody save me. I can't do this on my own. And plays out these real damsel in distress type scenarios in an effort to pull being seen and heard out of other people.
And that's really true with the like the fairy tales and that where who was it, Rapunzel was up in the tower, or you had to go and save the princess. So it is really deep-seated societal aspect, isn't it?
Yeah, and we grew up with that. We grew up with this mindset of we need to be rescued. And I absolutely love the way things have changed because there are so many more kids' movies coming out with that princess empowerment message of let's save ourselves, let's save our sisters. Frozen is a beautiful example of that. Moana was a beautiful example of where the princess saved herself and she had help on the way, but she didn't need to be rescued. Really like that this it's slowly permeating through culture that we don't need to be this damsel in distress and we're allowed to express and question.
Oh, that is very good. Okay, so that makes a lot of sense, and your daughter's going through that at the moment. So now let's hear about the mother. And don't forget, we're going to be looking at you when you do this one.
I know. I'm very open about my shadows. I know who I am. So the mother is then when we step into that next phase of life, or that next stage of self. And it's where we start birthing, nurturing, and creating new ideas. It's where our hearts open up a bit more. We're not so narrow-minded. We get those rules. We get those expectations. But how do we grow within those? How do we then help bring new stuff to life? And if you think about the concept of actually falling pregnant and bringing life into the world, it is exactly that, that planting of a seed, allowing it to bloom kind of thing. But because she wants to nurture growth in others, it's interesting when the princess then pushes back against that because the mother wants to help. She's the one, from a gardening perspective, she's the one watering the plants, tending the soil, and then the princess is the weed going, stuff you, I will grow where I want to grow and under the conditions I want to grow, and you can just bugger off. So from the mother's perspective then, it can hurt. It really cuts through to the mother's heart. So then what happens? She ends up depressed, frustrated, and overwhelmed. It's almost like she has this huge heart expansion because she sees all this possibility for the future. And then she has this little version of herself going, no, it's my future. It goes my way. And you can't tell me what to do.
Oh, that's so true. Oh, yes. My daughter was so, so stubborn. And you know what? I used to always see that as a positive in her. But, oh, my God, it was so frustrating. You know, she just decided if she didn't want to get ready for school, I said to her, well, you can go to school with your pajamas on. Get on the bus with the pajamas on. And she did. She didn't care.
There's the extroverted rebellion. Oh yeah, Lexi, my daughter, is going through, she's both introverted and extroverted, so I'm getting both playing out, which is amazing to watch. But yes, she is very much, these are my rules, this is how I'm going to operate, and I don't care what the consequence is.
All right, so we've talked about the children or about that side of it, and we've had a little brief thing on the mother.
Yeah.
So I guess the reality is, how does the mother cope with that? Because I would imagine her inner princess would be rearing her not so pretty head every now and again, saying WTF.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, and plenty of choice words uttered under the breath. Yeah, when you're in that mother phase, it is this opportunity to witness your own princess traits playing out, which is coming back to that need to be seen and heard. So when you find your own little princess, your own little mimic of you, is playing out these cycles of see me and hear me, if you start responding in the same way, it gives you that opportunity to go, oh, where wasn't I seen and heard when I was in my princess phase? And the key to moving out of that stage and into the mother fully is self-responsibility. So as the mother looking at yourself going, okay, when I was in the princess stage, I wasn't seen and heard in this way. I was called bossy. I was called too sensitive, all those sorts of too much words. And then being able to see yourself and go, no, I wasn't too bossy. I was a leader and I was determined to take action. I wasn't too sensitive. I simply felt what other people felt. And that makes me very open-hearted. So then by seeing those things within yourself and taking responsibility for it, it allows you to move forward into independence. And to me, this is the key to that mother stage and that dynamic between the two, is for the mother to stand back and go, okay, you want your independence, you want your freedom, then have it. Allow them to make their own mistakes. Allow them to find their own way. And in doing so, the mother then gets to set very clear boundaries for herself. This is how I want to be loved. This is how I want to receive love. This is where you are stepping over that and you are now hurting me. So I am going to pull away. And as a mother, I'm going to focus on myself.
Wow, that's... All right, so I'm understanding that is that you're allowing the child to do what they want to do to a certain degree, obviously. And I just want to bring forward, I remember my mum saying to me when I had my first child, and she said to me, if you ask them to do something, don't tell them how to do it. Allow them to do it in their own way. You could say, make the bed, allow them to make it in their own way. They could make it differently to you. They could do the whole thing very differently. You're going to learn from that, but they're also going to learn from it as well. So yes. If they make it and it's not quite the same way and they're open to be shown, then show them. If not, allow them to learn on their own terms. And yes. And that's exactly what you're saying. So my mum must have been pretty damn good, hey?
She was way ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, but what I want to know, and I've sort of just given a little example there, I want to know one of your examples. So one that's happening now where your daughter has become the princess, is, I don't know, cracking a nana in the shops because she wants something, and how you as a mother, without you slipping back into that princess stage and yelling and screaming back at her, how do you deal with that?
Oh, I think that's a really good one. So I've got lots of examples of things I'm putting into practice at the moment. The big thing with Lexi at the moment is her own choices as to how she dresses and when she gets ready. So going to school, there's certain school rules as to how she's meant to dress, what she's meant to wear, but... She's not listening to us as parents, as the mother, helping her and reminding her of what those rules are. So what I've had to do is step back and say, okay, you want your independence here. You need to learn the natural consequence of your actions. So there's been numerous days where she's worn the wrong school shoes, the wrong shoes to school, I should say, and gentle reminder, hey, you know these are the shoes you should be wearing for school today. I'll get yelled and screamed at. I'm like, fine, you've been seen and heard. I've acknowledged that you've worn the wrong shoes. You know you're doing that. Go to school wearing those then. And then it's up to the school then to reinforce the natural consequence of that And she will learn in time when she does eventually get in trouble that, hey, something needs to change here. And that it wasn't a rule coming from me. It wasn't my expectation. It was something outside of me again. So I am very mindful now not to yell and scream at her to enforce that rule, because it's not my rule. And to be truthful, it doesn't bother me. I'm like, it's shoes. I don't really care. But it's not my rule she has to follow. And another example is she wants that independence. So what we've done is set up a board, a whiteboard, where we've written down everything that she is responsible for the week and when things need to be done. And it is up to her to then follow that routine, that roster, if you will. So we've got things down like when she needs to wash her hair, when she's got swimming lessons, when she's got yoga. And I'm very upfront with her that my responsibility is not to get her ready, because that self-responsibility lies with her, not with me. It's up to her to get herself ready. But as the mother, it's my responsibility to get her to yoga and to swimming. So now she has become very much more aware that if she is not ready on time, then she is the one running around like a mad chook trying to get in the car before I'm about to leave. And I will admit, she has pushed the boundaries, and I've had the car out the driveway and had to park out the front beeping the horn because it's time to go. And she's arrived at swimming without her goggles and without her cap. But that was not my responsibility. That was hers. She's wanted it, so I've presented it to her.
Yeah, I think as mothers, we tend to try and we overdo it, don't we? We are constantly thinking ahead and trying to make sure everything lines up and we get everything in place and we're doing it all right. And a lot of that, like you say, it's more about what the other people are thinking rather than, you know, what your child is thinking or what you're thinking. So it's really imperative that we look at the concept or like how we are thinking. So for us to feel that the child needs to be, you know, here in the right clothes and doing the right thing and having this and having that, that's more about the societal concepts rather than about how we really are feeling and what it means, because we're actually going back into the princess, wanting everybody to be happy and all the rest.
Exactly. Stepping back, like as you said, turning up to places going, well, she should be in the right uniform, she should have all her stuff together, hair needs to be perfect, all of that, is that princess need to be seen and heard and almost validated. Yeah. Whereas if you're in your mother, you're nurturing growth. So, of course, growth isn't always pretty. Growth isn't always organised.
Yep. And it's so easy for the child to sort of turn around and go, well, Mum, you didn't do that. That's your fault. And lay blame to the parent. When in all honesty, it's not the parent's fault. It's the child knows. Like my kids, when they were going to school, they had to make their own lunches. If they didn't make their own lunches, hey, I wasn't going without lunch. They were. So it's not sort of, I think sometimes we over-nurture as a mother.
There is a big epidemic of that, and I've noticed that especially in the school environment. There are so many mums who are still carrying their kids' bags to the car when they're in year 3, 4, 5. And I'm like, this is wrong. These kids are independent. They want to be independent. And the mother is smothering their ability to grow. And that is part of the mother phase. That is the, I guess, the negative aspect of the mother phase, that if we don't feel loved, then we try and manipulate situations to pull that love out of others. And smothering is a big element of that.
Yeah, so because we're not feeling it, giving it to ourselves, we're trying to get that love or affection or everything from other people when we really need to be giving it to ourselves.
Exactly.
And not just a physical manner, not just going, oh, well, I love myself, so I'm going to go and get my hair done or I'm going to go and get a massage. It's that spiritual one where we start to listen to ourselves and start to, you know, get rid of that negative self-talk and start to believe in what we are. What the hell if the kid's going to turn up in the wrong pair of shorts? If you've let the child know that they've not got the right pair of shorts on and they choose not to change them, so be it. You, like you say, they're seeing a consequence for their action, and that's how they learn. If we don't let them do that, they don't learn.
No, they don't. And then they get stuck in this victim blaming role, which they then carry through all the way through their life until they claim self-responsibility. And yes. I believe there is a huge epidemic of women who are stuck in this role. And you can't blame anybody because we didn't know any better in the past. It's yes. only now that all the psychological stuff has come out as to exactly what these behaviours do in the long term. But regardless of where it started, we now have that knowledge, which to me says stepping into our princess stage and taking self-responsibility for that. Yep. What am I going to do to make sure I'm not playing victim anymore?
Yep.
What am I going to do to give myself that love instead of manipulating and smothering others to drag it out of them?
Or force them.
It's to me, it's not just love, it's radical self-love. Because as you said, it's not the bubble bath, it's not getting your hair done. Yes, that may make you feel good, but it's that inner work of I really love myself. I feel connected to life, to other people. And because I love myself so deeply, I can freely give to others without it draining me in the process.
Absolutely, because your cup runneth over, or whatever they say.
And I think a lot of the issues start between, like, that dynamic between princess and mother. The mother reacts out of anger because her cup isn't full. Yes. She's continually drained over and over and over again. And that's where those boundaries are very important in that mother phase. You need to set those boundaries to fill yourself up with love before you can deal with the princess's rebellion.
When you talk about the blame, I used to call it the blame game, and I don't know whether it was a book titled that, but I didn't get any of my information from anyone other than books, because in those days we didn't have internet, and I'm sure we didn't have electricity half the time, but no, we did. I'm not that old. But I did a lot of reading, and I remember one called something towards the terminology of the blame game, and that really made me start looking at it. And one of the ways I did it was that I would blame myself for everything. Now, I know that doesn't sound right, but I would blame myself for everything, because blaming myself gave me the power to do something about it. And then I'd go, okay, so if I'm at fault for all of this, and so say you're saying your child and, you know, what's going on, if I'm at fault for all this, what can I do about it? And if it's to do with the child where I couldn't do anything about it because that's what they've chosen to do, then I could go, okay, well, that's not my fault. Well, I can't blame myself for that. I have to let that go. And it was getting that understanding by blaming myself what I could actually control and do something about, or what I had to go, no, I can't blame myself for that. It's absolutely not my fault, and give that to someone else, or what part of it was mine that I could deal with. And it was really a real growth period there, because when I first started doing it, it was a bit overwhelming because I, again, blamed myself for everything and started to go really quite, But you saw those little elements in every relationship, everything that happens, whether you're just talking to the checkout person or whether, you know, you're talking to your partner. Everyone has an equal element in it, or not an equal, sorry, an element in it. Even you look at insurance with the car accident. 5% of a car accident, even if it was you were just standing there and a car hit you, 5% of that accident is your fault because you were on the road. So you start to go, okay, all right, I was on the road, but I'm not going to change that, so I can't really blame myself. That's fine. I can hand that over. But doing it in that sort of a manner, it gave you so much more control, because as soon as you blame somebody, you give them the power.
You disempower yourself.
Yes, you blame yourself, you can control it. You've got the power, and then you can decide what to move on and what not to move on.
Yeah, and that's called the locus of control. It's a really interesting thing to study. that there is only so much within our own control, and everything sits with that on the outside of that. So you cannot control your child in the princess stage from introverting and blaming herself or blaming others or being extroverted and screaming and yelling and stamping her foot. You cannot control another person's actions. But what sits inside the locus of control is how we respond. We have control over that. We can take self-responsibility for our actions, our feelings, and our emotions. And this is something I actually bring up with Lexi all the time, that one of our big rules in this house, number one rule, is be kind and take responsibility. And that responsibility includes responsibility for your things, your emotions, and your actions. So whenever she goes into her big princess rebellion and then starts yelling and screaming, I have to remember to take control of my own responsibilities, control my own emotions, control my own actions and reactions before I can then stand in integrity and say to her, are you controlling your own actions right now, or are you throwing your feelings at me? So it's interesting studying that locus of control and really looking at your life and going, well, what do I actually have control over? And there's a lot less than you think, but also a lot more, because it all lies within you.
Absolutely. And that's the part I like, because when we think about control, we think about that external circumstances, when it's not. It's all about the internal and that side of it. So, Melly, I loved that. We're starting to get a bit close to time now. I love that. I love the dynamics between the two and understanding the princess. And again, the princess is not all wrong. The princess is growing. So, but we can look at it.
Freedom. She is beautiful. She's fun. She's carefree. Yeah. Like, I love the princess. Stage.
And we should do it a little bit more often, maybe, you know. It usually takes a glass of wine before I become a little bit of a princess. but then we've got the understanding of the mother, and not to slide back into the negative side of the princess when you're in that mother space, and not to smother in as a mother. We don't want to do that. Allow your child to grow and allow them to learn, even if it is the hard way. If they fall down, they're going to get back up. Or if they fall down and scream and carry on, they're eventually going to get back up. You can help them up if you want to, but they're never ever going to learn to do it on their own if you don't. They're never going to learn that resilience. So I love that connection. And of course, after the mother stage, then we go into the wild woman.
Woman, yes, which if you look at it from the life stages, it's kind of where you're at. You go from the princess, the child, to the mother, and then you kind of step into the next phase, which is almost that grandmother stage.
Yep, cool. But we're not talking about that today. We're going to talk about that, because if we talk about, I'd like to get you back to again and then talk about the connections or the interactions between, or dynamics between the mother and the wild woman.
Oh, that'd be a good one. Yes.
Yeah, because I see that almost as that stage where there's a lot of women that actually go through separation. So the relationship's starting to break down. The children are sort of getting a bit older, and that there's this wild woman where you. And I remember watching a lot of some of my friends go through it when they leave. The marriage breakdown would come through and they would just sort of go crazy. They really did go like a wild woman. They were doing this and doing that and drinking and, they went from being this controlled mother to this wild, wild woman just partying and carrying on. It was almost like they needed to go through that teenage stage again. So I remember seeing that, and I know with my marriage breakdown, I said, I'm not going to do that. But I had gone through a lot of the wild woman stage before I left my marriage. I'd gone through all the spiritual growth and everything, a lot of spiritual growth then. So, but I did see it with these ladies, and they'd lose those shackles from the relationship and then just off they go. And they'd all settle down, but, yeah. So I'd love to do that one next, if that's interesting to anyone else, and help them get through if they are going through separation or emptiness syndrome. That's another big one that happens in that stage too, where we're starting to look at who we are and what we are, and this is where that wild woman starts to come through. But for now, that's it. But I have to let them know they can get a copy of The Stages of Self, which is their journey to self-empowerment, at mellys.com.au. Melly's also an Australian too, so she's here just near the Gold Coast, or just on the outskirts of the Gold Coast. How do you want to finish off, Melly? Give us a little hint or a little tip, or
how about I read a quick passage?
I knew you were going to do that. Yeah. Here she is.
Okay, let's have a look. Okay, this one shows a really good one for the dynamic between the mother and the princess. So Stages of Self is actually the poetic journey. So a lot of it is very short, sharp prose, which really makes you stop and think. And this one in particular is under the princess stage of self, but a reaction and interaction with the mother. So the tears stream down her face. "Why are they so mean to me?" "My darling," mother whispered, "they want what you have, that light in your heart. But because they can't find it within themselves and they can't figure out how to get it on their own, they will settle for destroying yours instead." And it's usually shortly after that the princess's rebellion begins.
Oh, well, that gave me goose pimples. That was beautiful. Yeah, so that was one of the poses in the book.
Yes. Oh, yes.
That was lovely. Wow.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. All right, I'm going to just quickly go back into the branding. We do have to say bye for now, Melly. Again, you can get her book at mellys.com.au and grab a copy there. She'll post it out to you or send it out to you. I don't know how you do it, Melly, sorry. hey, just get back. Oh, now there was another thing I was going to do. Oh, no, that's right. Get back onto us onto Facebook. You can see Melly on Facebook as well, or myself. And let us know if you're interested in hearing about the mother and the wild woman, that the interactions of the dynamics between the two of them. And remember, it doesn't matter if you're young, you can still be going through a wild woman stage. It's because it's not just an age thing. It's just in general, it's going through an age period. But in reality, we go through all of them all the way through. All the way through. Yeah. You'll even have a child who you would say is in the princess stage. She will come up with these incredible things, like, and you sort of go, where does that come from? And you could almost guarantee she's digging into the sorceress or digging into the dark queen and getting an understanding of what her life's about and things like that. So you can see those glimpses as we go all the way through, can't we, Melly? Am I right, Rebecca?
Most definitely. It's like circles within circles within circles.
Yep, absolutely. So if you want to know any more, contact Melly at mellys.com.au. She will help you out with that. And I will say, do you want to say goodbye, Melly? And then I will come on my own.
Goodbye, everyone, and thank you so much for listening. It's an absolute pleasure talking about the stages of self, and I would love to come back another time, Susan, and talk about all the stages.
Beautiful. Okay, thank you so much, Melly. And that's me for now. Again, link, you can get us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, I don't know, all those things. I'm not very good at Twitter. I really aren't. I'm not good. But I'm on there, okay? So that's me. I want to say bye for now and have a great day, guys. All the best. Bye.